वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
We'll chant verses 13 to 17, chapter 5.
So we want to the question first, Guruji?
No, we'll be discussing that as we proceed with the verses. Sarva karmani manasa, sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, navadware pure dehi,
navadware pure dehi,
naiva kurvanna karayan,
naiva kurvanna karayan,
sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, नवद्वारे पुरे देहि नैव कुर्वन्न कारयन् न कर्तृत्वं न कर्माणि
न
कर्तृत्वं न कर्माणि लोकस्य सृजति प्रभुः
लोकस्य
सृजति प्रभुः न कर्मफलसंयोगं
न
कर्मफलसंयोगं स्वभावस्तु प्रवर्तते
स्वभावस्तु प्रवर्तते
न कर्तृत्वं न कर्माणि लोकस्य सृजति प्रभुः न कर्मफलसंयोगं स्वभावस्तु प्रवर्तते नादत्ते कस्यचित् पापं
नादत्ते कस्यचित् पापं
न चैव सुकृतं विभुः
न चैव
सुकृतं विभुः अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानम् अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानम् तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तवः
तेन
मुह्यन्ति जन्तवः नादत्ते कस्यचित् पापं न चैव सुकृतं विभुः अज्ञानेनावृतं ज्ञानम् तेन मुह्यन्ति जन्तवः ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम्
ज्ञानेन
तु तदज्ञानम् येषां नाशितमात्मनः
येषां
नाशितमात्मनः तेषामादित्यवज्ञानम् आदित्यवज्ञानम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम्
प्रकाशयति
तत्परम् ज्ञानेन तु तदज्ञानम् येषां नाशितमात्मनः तेषामादित्यवज्ञानम् प्रकाशयति तत्परम् तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः
निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः
गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः
ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः
तद्बुद्धयस्तदात्मानः तन्निष्ठास्तत्परायणाः गच्छन्त्य पुनरावृत्तिम् ज्ञाननिर्धूतकल्मषाः। Verse number 12, he talked about Yukta and Kurita. He said Yukta means one who is centered in the self, one who is centered in the Atma. So the Yukta, having abandoned the fruit of action, Yukta means one who has surrendered to the totality, one who has become identified with the self and functions. Such a person has abandoned the fruit of action. Abandoned the fruit of action means in his mind there is no more craving for the fruit of action. He focuses on action, dedicated action, like it was mentioned before, brahmani adaya karmani. He acts dedicating everything to Brahman. There is no more I, what will I get? And having acted thus, whatever comes as a result, because his actions will suddenly have a result, that he is accepted. So it's not that abandoned fruit means when the fruit comes he gives it to somebody else. Whatever comes he accepts. Having abandoned the fruit of action, and the very fact that he is abandoning his unnecessary connection to the future while acting in the present, he attains peace. He has peace. We are in peace. Pieces, because we are constantly craving for the future. What will I get? What will I get? The result. Since our mind is identified with the future, we suffer. In fact, ego has two legs and it stands on them. One leg is worries of the past. Other leg is anxiety for the future. I am what I am today, which I have accumulated for so many years from the past. Ego is an accumulation of the past. And what will I get? What will be mine in future? All these are mine today. What will be mine in future? So the me and mine always go together. Agree with me? And the more and more the mind and what will be mind in future is there, the more and more you will be agitated. So he says, such a person who is identified with Atma, who has abandoned the attachment to the fruit of action, he attains peace. Whereas Ayukta, the opposite fellow, who is identified with the ego, not with the self, the little self he is identified with, not with the supreme self, he is impelled by desire. He is forced and compelled by the desire from within. He acts attached to the fruit. All his activities are propelled by the desire. He just lives to simply fulfill his desires and is terribly attached to the fruit. Firstly, if there is some disturbance because of which he may not get the result, he will be agitated. And even if he gets, he is terrified that he may lose what he has got. The most difficult thing is not attaining a status. Worse than that is maintaining that status quo. Isn't it? A person who is desirous, he out of desire propelled goes about attaining a certain status. Then he thinks, once I attain the status, I'll be happy. He doesn't inquire well in advance. So once he attains that status, then he realizes it is even more agitating to maintain that status quo. So that is what he is saying. Impelled by desire and attached to food, he is constantly bound. Next verse. Sarva karmani manasa, sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, navadvare pure dehi,
navadvare pure dehi,
naiva kurvanna karayan,
naiva kurvanna karayan,
sarva karmani manasa, sanyasyaste sukam vashi, navadvare pure dehi, sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. One who has renounced all activities mentally renouncing all actions and self-controlled, the embodied rests happily in the city of nine gates, neither even acting nor causing to act. All that he is saying here is talking about a person who has reached that ultimate. You can take it even as somebody who is a great renunciate, either a sannyasi at a higher realm of sannyas or one who has merged with Atma. Now all that he is saying here is, such a person continues action at the body level. At the body level the action continues. But mentally he has renounced. That's all he is saying here. Right? Mentally, sarva karmani manasa. We saw the opposite earlier. What is that? Physically, he doesn't act. But mentally, he is not given up the I am the doer attitude. This is what Arjuna was about to do. Lord Krishna is telling him exactly to do the opposite, like a jnani. Having gained the jnanam, having attained jnanam, how does jnani function? He continues functioning in the world. Right? But inside he knows very well that I do nothing at all. mentally renouncing all actions, perfectly self-controlled, the embodied self seated in the city of nine gates. We believe that we are this city. I am this body. This body is the city of nine gates. Navadvare Pure Dehi. Now this we are seated in, he says. Jnani knows that he is seated here, but he is not the Navadvara Puri. But we have identified with the body and we think we are this Navadvara Puri. So he says, and he rests happily. This happiness that he is talking about is something that comes from within. It is not something that comes as a result of his achieving things outside. That is different kind of happiness. This is happiness that comes from within, ananda. Neither even acting nor causing to act. He doesn't act, he doesn't believe that he is acting, nor does he have an intention to make anything act. What is he saying here? This was something related to the question I asked last week. That's why I said we'll discuss that question when we get on to the verse. So a jnani acts. We also act. What is the difference? In the case of a jnani, he acts with the knowledge that I do nothing at all. In the case of us, we have the ego that I am the doer. Right? So the question last week that we asked was, when a person has crossed over all the gunas, crossed over all the desires, would he act? If he does act, what is the explanation given for it? See, the explanation that Vedanta gives for it is, take for example, fan rotating. You switched on the fan and the fan started rotating. And it is going in high speed, 5. And you switch it off. The electricity supply has been switched off. Would the fan stop immediately?
No.
It won't, because of the momentum. Similarly, before he became a jnani, his activities have momentum. The momentum of the individual's action continue to act, makes his body act. So his body will continue to act. But he doesn't have the identification with body anymore. He doesn't have his identification with mind anymore. So he clearly distances and watches his activities functioning. He becomes a witness. Right? Now, what sort of activity would you do? Would he also be doing negative activity? There we bring in the logic and say, if you remember that another example I've given earlier, which is very often I've repeated also, that is the film role, when you take it in the dark room, it is developed. But you take the same and expose it in light, it cannot be developed. Are you with me? Negative breeds in darkness. It cannot breed in light. The moment a person's dirt has been washed away, all his dirts are washed. We are like mirror. Our personality is like a mirror. Earlier also Lord Krishna gave this example. The wisdom in us is covered by desires. Like smoke covering fire, dust covering mirror, embryo being covered in the womb. Do you remember that verse at all? In chapter 3 we did this. As fire is covered by smoke, dust covering mirror, an embryo covered in the womb, this is covered by it. He says, it is the desire. This is the wisdom. So the wisdom in us is covered by the desire. The dirt, the vasanas, the phalka icha, the desire for the fruit, the anxiety for the fruit, craving for the fruit, the longing for the fruit, attachment to the fruit is covering our personality. When that has been removed, the atma within, pure atma, reflects totally. Are you with me? So, in the jnani, the phalka icha is not there. Atma is reflecting totally. And when consciousness is there, there can be no negative. He is not having a motive to be compassionate. I am coming to your answer now. That is why I said, when somebody was answering, I think last week you answered, and this week when Mamta ji answered the same thing, he would be helping people, doing a lot of things. There we need to differentiate between a person who is highly sattvic but not yet realized. He still has pious ego. He goes about working for the welfare of the world, but there is desire to help. In the case of a jnani, there is no desire to help, but he naturally will be compassionate because of the consciousness that he is in, that he is. Excuse me. Why does a person go into the negative route only when he starts thinking that I am karta? When you know that I am the consciousness, in the presence of consciousness, everything functions. There is no question of I am the doer. When I am the doer is not there, there is no question of committing any sin. There is no question of committing any meritorious deed either. Simply, he is compassionate by nature. Being compassionate by nature is different from being compassionate by motive. That is the only difference. So this is the explanation. So when you have been functioning and all the desires have been neutralized, now suddenly the momentum will not stop. The momentum will continue. But now you being a jnani within, you are able to be a witness to this momentous flow. You understand? When such a flow is going on, you just remain a sanction. Somebody went to Buddha, and after spending some time with him, he said, you out of compassion have given me so much, but now I have to go, I have some work, I will go and come back again to you. For which Lord Buddha said, my dear friend, the same person who came here is not the same person who is going to go. You are constantly flowing at the top, and at the bottom, when you look at it from the Atma point of view, you are changeless. But from the top, you are changing. And if you are talking about that person who is changing, he's already gone. It's not a static person. We believe that this Lakshmi Narayan is static. Right? Each one of us, he is a child, we say. When we say that he is a child, we are saying that he is a child and he will continue to be a child. No. He is now becoming a child. He will slowly become youth. He will slowly become old. It's a flow. When Ganges is flowing, the water that you see is constantly flowing. It's not the same water. Similarly, when this person is sitting with Buddha, upar is flowing. But yet he is believing that it is the same person who came, is going out, and will be the same person that is coming back. So Buddha tells him, it is not the same person. It's constantly changing. The I that we are referring to today is something that is constantly changing. It is not pure existence. But the Atma within is not changing when the body goes through changes. Right? The body will go through changes, but the Atma doesn't go through changes. So that is what he is saying here. Mentally renouncing all actions and perfectly self-controlled, the embodied rests happily in the city of nine gates. This body is looked upon philosophically as a city in which we live. Now when we live in the city, we out of ignorance believe ourselves to be trapped by this city, and we are this city. The consciousness within is much subtler compared to the city of nine gates. How can the gross trap the subtle? Like space is subtle compared to the room. Room is gross. So you can't, even though in common parlance we use the word like bedroom space, bathroom space, kitchen space, lounge space, all these things we use. But strictly speaking, can the space be restricted by the walls of the room? Space is all pervading. You understand? It appears as if it is trapped space, but space is not trapped. Similarly, we may be now reflecting through this body, but I have nothing to do with the body. This a jnani knows. And he functions
using his body he goes about, but in his mind there is no identification with the body. Therefore he says in the mind he is renounced. Arjuna, what you are about to do is what most of us do, the escapists do. That is the easiest thing to do, which is giving up the action and mentally think that I am the doer. And as long as you think that you are the doer, then you will think that I did not do the right thing, I did the wrong thing. Or you will start thinking that I did punya, I did pap, all those things will come, which is what he is going to say in the next verse. But the moment you understand this, there is no question of you doing any actions. So he says, he neither acts. He understands that prakriti acts. I am not acting, the momentum is flowing. Are you with me? Like in science, we talk about catalyst. In the presence of the catalyst, the chemical reaction happens. Once the chemical reaction has happened, you take the product and analyze, you will not see the catalyst in it. You will only see the products that came together. Isn't it? You understand that? In chemistry, in the catalyst's presence, two chemicals come together. Now, the compound that formed, you analyze it, you will not find the catalyst. Yet, without the catalyst, that could not have come about. Similarly, in the presence of Atma, everything happens. In the presence of the projector light, the movie is projected. But projector light has got nothing to do with it. Last week, the movie projected was tragedy. Tragedy movie. This week, the movie projected is comedy. Next week, the movie projected may be action. But the same projector light. In the presence of the projector light, different movies are being projected. Unfortunately, out of ignorance, we identify with what is being projected. So when tragedy is there, we sulk. When comedy is there, we laugh. When action is there, we get excited. But if you look at it from the point of view of the projected light, tragedy, comedy and action, whatever may happen, it says, I have nothing to do with it. Yet, if there was power cut and no generator also, the projector won't be working, the movie won't be there. Are you with me? This is the confusion that we are trapped in. A jnani clearly knows that the Atma within doesn't do anything at all, neither even acting. Since his Atma is paripurna, there is nothing for him to do indirectly also. There is no motive to make others act. The moment you say, that is why he says, because immediately the thought comes, okay, he doesn't do, but he may prompt others to do. He doesn't prompt anyone to do anything. In his presence, everything functions. In the presence of Paramatma, the Prakriti is functioning. And we see the byproduct and we got trapped. This is what they call as Maya. We are in a state of hypnosis. And a person who is in a state of hypnosis, he is not able to see this. But when a person causes the hypnosis, he sees it. But the interesting thing is, there is strictly speaking no communication between one who is in hypnosis and one who is out of hypnosis. That is the trouble. Next verse. So is that clear now, that question?
I think this projector example is really good.
So that question is clear now, right? How does a jnani act? A jnani is not acting propelled by his desire. The momentum is carrying. That is why in the 33rd verse of chapter 3, he said even a man of wisdom acts in accordance with his vasanas, with his nature rather. Even a man of wisdom acts in accordance with his nature. What can restraint do? Everybody has swabhava, nature. So after perfection, you find Adi Shankara traveling the length and breadth of India and talking on Gita and this and that, establishing so many months. You find Vivekananda going all around the world and talking.
Swami Ramatirtha, the same thing. And you find like Raman Maharshi, who hardly spoke. But all these people are those who have reached the truth. Are you with me? Each one's momentum is different. In their own nature they function. But in whichever field they functioned, as per their nature, they were only benefiting the world, but without desire to benefit the world. If you say, I have a desire to benefit, then it comes under the realm of sattva. Without desire to benefit the world, going around benefiting. Are you with me? Like tree is giving oxygen. If you go and ask tree, why are you doing this? No, otherwise human beings will suffer. If I don't give oxygen, what will happen to them? Therefore, I must somehow give oxygen. It is not having any motive. A cow is not giving any milk out of motive. A flower is not giving fragrance out of motive. Anything in the world, in the nature, is not functioning out of motive. It's only a human being. In the third chapter, in ninth verse, he says, this world is bound by actions other than those performed for the sake of yajna. What is yajna? Yajna is not just the fire worship. When you say yajna, this is what it means. Functioning as a spoke in the wheel of life. Do we understand the contribution of butterfly in our living?
It does indeed.
Yeah, but what does the butterfly do?
Pollinates.
For pollination it works. And if it doesn't pollinate, what happens?
Then it doesn't propagate seeds.
The seeds won't propagate then?
No trees,
no plants.
No flowers, no fruit. If there are no flowers, no fruit. But you are looking at me as if I am talking about chapter 3 of some other book. I am talking about Gita only. Anna Bhavanti Bhutani. From food comes beings. And where does food come from? From rain. From where does rain come from? Yajna activity. Where does yajna come from? Vedas. Where does Veda come from? Brahman. Therefore you always be established in yajna. You remember the very interesting sequence 14 and 15. So, do you realize that butterfly is doing its work without any motive, and without it we won't be existing, and it is not even known? You understand? In fact, all the great work is done with no prefix, no suffix. All small little works, so much of dhamba, so much of announcement, so much of show off. You know, a story about a jnani which is very inspiring to me. It's a very simple story, but it's a very, very inspiring story to me. I hope it inspires you. A gentleman was listening to a swami in the radio very often. You know, those days there was no television and media was also not this much like nowadays. He was constantly listening to the swami and he became his devotee. He liked it so much. And he came to know of the address of the Swami, where he has the ashram. So he wrote a letter to the Swami that I have been listening to your lectures. I would like to visit you, the ashram, for a few days. So do I have your permission? When can I come? So he promptly got a letter saying, you can come on these days. I'm very much available. And then he wrote back saying, this is the first time I'm traveling that area. I don't know much. Can you ask somebody to pick me up from the station? I'll be grateful to you if you can organize that. He said, no problem, somebody will be there to receive you. So as it was mentioned, when he got down from the train, there was a gentleman who received him, an old man. He took him in the bullock cart to the ashram and they said, go and get ready. After an hour, we have a lecture. And this man got ready and went to the lecture to listen to the Swami. There he found the same old man sitting and lecturing. It was the same Swami.
You understand? He is the Swami. He did not say, I am the Swami. He did not have the ego that I am the Swami. How can I come and receive my devotee? And he did not announce anything. Simply went to the station, received the guy, took him to the ashram, left him there and said, come 1 hour to bath. He went and there he was astonished. That is realization. No prefix, no suffix. When any part of your body is making its presence known, that means there is something wrong in it. Similarly, if you want to be known through your activities, that means remember you are suffering from some disease. This is what Vedanta is saying. Why do you want, if you find in the world everything is simply doing what it ought to do without any prefix or suffix? It's only a human being. I have done this. I hope everybody recognizes this. How much I have done for you. Mother is thinking, I have done so much, but he doesn't care for me. You understand? There is constantly this feeling, and I. So, no prefix, no suffix. Simply does naturally. Like, it is the nature of the butterfly to pollinate. This is not having any desire, without me there will be no world, somehow gadi chalna chahiye, so I am the one who is pushing. Nothing.
We have so many different, like you said, no? We have characteristics of asanas or inbuilt, which makes it do so many different things. Like the example you are giving of a butterfly, it is only there for that period of time to do only that activity. But we are doing so many different type of activities that we get confused and lost, and we lose our identity as being an atma.
So you are saying because we do too many activities. We
because
are
of vasanas. Because
everybody
of
has vasanas.
We are doing different things.
It is not the vasanas. The problem is not the vasanas. It's your identification with vasanas.
So how do you stop
if it? You, with jnanam, with jnanam you understand this. Once you understand, you go about doing. That is why they say in the beginning, you say, I am not doing, Paramatma is doing. Then slowly, slowly you understand that you are Paramatma, and Paramatma is not doing anything. It is a Prakriti that is functioning, nature that is functioning. You go to sleep, you wake up, hair is grown, nail is grown. Prakriti is functioning. Did you go inside your body and consciously make the nail grow? Hair grow? The nature is functioning. Are you with me? The nature is functioning. The problem, that is why I gave you the example of the projector and all that. The nature is functioning. I am the consciousness. Now this consciousness cannot be analyzed and brought out. If you, like science tries this, this is the problem. This is where Vedanta tells science, we can't prove this consciousness to you. Because like in the chemical reaction, the catalyst is there. But when you try to dissect the compound, you won't find the catalyst. Similarly, you see the body is there. Atma is there reflecting through the body and the body is functioning. Right? You say, I am hungry. Jnani say, stomach is hungry. Right? Now, if a person dies, when a person dies, is the body there or not? Is the stomach there or not in the dead body? Does it feel hunger? Don't shake your head. Yes or no?
No.
Yet we say stomach is hungry. Is the statement correct or not? This is where the catalyst example is very useful. In the presence of the consciousness, stomach's hunger is there. Are you with me? When the consciousness and the is not reflected to the stomach. You don't see the hunger part of the stomach. For the nature of the stomach to function, the catalyst is the consciousness. So when you say the statement that stomach is hungry, it's a correct statement. But if you ask, but in the dead body there is no hunger in the stomach, this is where the explanation comes. It is the catalyst. Consciousness is the catalyst. You are the catalyst. In your presence, the nature functions. That is why very often a Mahatma is referred to the king. In his presence, everything functions. Like today, very often you find minister is going to visit a place for inaugurating something. Suddenly you will find the corporation, everybody comes and then cleans up, and then the road, temporary road also is made. I don't know what all is done. Right? It's a very, very mundane example, just to drive home that point. He did not tell anybody, do this, do that. He was going to come to inaugurate something. In his presence, everything bristles to activity. Now, this you don't try to intellectually understand. When the phalka icha goes away, slowly, slowly, then the Atma reveals itself. When the Atma reveals itself, then I am the doer is gone. You clearly understand that consciousness is only a catalyst. It has got nothing to do with anything.
I have a question. Nature works like clockwork, without worship, without... Prakriti works beautifully on its own, without any worship or anything. But then the thing is that we are given Vivek. We have some human beings. Is the only species which has a discrimination to Vivek, which say a butterfly doesn't have, a lion doesn't have. You have the gist of the survival in the jungle. But we human beings have that which they don't have. So we are given the Vivek, and that's what gives rise to our desires, our vasanas. And so we have to go through a process which nature doesn't have to go through.
No, so what's your question?
To reach to our consciousness. So there's that difference is there in nature and human beings.
No, because human beings...
Basically, we have the
buddhi. So, all the more consciously function in yamya.
No, but in our philosophy, we say that we are growing up from an animal, from trees, we give animals to, you know, that, and now monkeys to humans. So the buddhi is there now for us to reach Brahman. So we should use it right.
Because human being alone can rise to the level of divinity, or go to the level of worse than animal.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. Therefore, he has this choice of action.
Yeah, but here when we say worse than an animal, otherwise we are saying the animal is very peaceful and he is perfect because he is with nature, he is tuned with nature.
Yes. Animal just functions unconsciously. Jai Krishnamurti used to say, animals are unconsciously perfect. Human beings are consciously imperfect. You have been given a choice. That is why one fellow asked me in the class, it will be better if you did not have the choice. But you are saying that now, with the choice, you could evolve. But the same thing you are using to devolve. Like knife can help to create, to save somebody. To cook and cut vegetables and cook and save our lives, or operate and save lives. But the same knife could be used to take away somebody's life. Similarly, the discrimination that you have, the choice that you have, with which you can make or mar yourself, that is precisely why education is needed for us. Animals don't need this kind of education. We need education. Why do we need education? So that we don't use or abuse. We don't abuse our choices. We use it.
Yeah, so the point is that we have to, a human being has to go through that process.
Nobody is denying it. Yeah. All that we are saying, you don't have to take it like personally, that, you know, all that, I mean, it kind of amounts to that. All that I am trying to say is, Vedanta is saying that a human being alone, not Madhushri alone, Mamata alone, Lakshminarayan alone, human being alone in the world is functioning other than the spirit of India.
Spirit of
India. The global warming. You saw that, most of you must have seen the DVD by Al Gore, right? Inconvenient Truth. Have you seen?
Yeah.
If you have not seen, see it. That Inconvenient Truth, he talks about global warming. Who is caused it?
Man.
Animal is not responsible for it. We. Are you with me? And we need to educate ourselves on how this is going in the destructive path and try to see how we can revive it, save it, help ourselves. So, we have been given the choice to act in the spirit of yajna. But very often we don't. Or many people don't. Are you with me? So when you function in the spirit of yajna, you work for self-purification. As you go on purifying yourself, dedicating everything for the total, then you will slowly see the rise in consciousness in you. As the consciousness rises, you clearly understand, distinguish yourself, saying that I am not the doer. It is the prakriti that is functioning. We chanted verse 14 or no?
No.
So this is what it is. Not causing to act. Let's chant verse 14. Nakartrutvam na karmani, nakartrutvam na karmani, lokasya srujati prabhu,
lokasya srujati prabhu,
nakarma phalasai yogam,
nakarma phalasai yogam,
svabhavastu pravartate,
svabhavastu pravartate,
nakartrutvam na karmani, lokasya srujati prabhu, nakarma phalasai yogam, svabhavastu pravartate. The Lord, Prabhu means Lord. The Lord creates neither doership nor actions, nor the union with the fruit of action for the world, but the nature manifests itself. He neither acts nor does he cause anybody to act, he said in the previous verse. Then, if he is functioning like that, how does action happen in him? He says, svabhavastu pravartate. The nature manifests itself. He allows the nature to manifest itself in his presence. He never interferes. The moment you interfere, that means you have I am the doer attitude. The moment you say I am the doer, only then you will interfere. Right? Then I am the doer, if you have that attitude, if you have, then only paap and punya for you. If there is no I am the doer attitude, there is a question of paap and punya. I should not do paap. I should do punya. So he says here, the Lord creates neither doership nor actions, nor the union with fruit of action for the world, but nature manifests itself. He allows the nature to manifest. In our case, we don't allow the nature to manifest. We interfere. I want to attain this fruit and I interfere with nature. That is the difference, he says. In 13, 14 and 15, we will chant 15 also, then we will discuss. Verse 15. Nādatte kasya chit pāpam, nādatte kasya chit pāpam, nacaiva sukrutam vibhu, nacaiva sukrutam vibhu, ajñānena vṛtam jñānam, ajñānena vṛtam jñānam, tena muhyanti jantavah,
tena muhyanti jantavah,
nādatte kasya chit pāpam, nacaiva sukrutam vibhu, ajñānena vṛtam jñānam, tena. So in the previous verse when he said he allows the nature to manifest itself, then a question might come, then would he not, if he allows the nature to function, then would he not be doing paap? So here he is trying to analyze and say, there is no question of paap or punya for him. The Lord has no paap or punya. Lord accepts neither the sin nor even the virtue of anyone. Knowledge is veiled by ignorance. Beings are thereby deluded. Now in these three verses he is saying something which is extremely important. Very, very subtle and highest philosophy, all that is saying is, in the case of a jnani, one who has attained Brahman, one who has gone beyond desires and gunas, he allows the momentum to carry on. He doesn't have the attitude that I am the doer. He doesn't cause anyone to act also. There is no motive whatsoever. Just simply allows the prakriti to function, allows nature to manifest. Subhavastu pravartate. He remains a witness. And when he remains a witness like that, would he have paap and punya? So the question is, who will have paap and punya? What is paap? What is punya?
Wherever there is doership, only then
they can have paap. Very often than not, the creator is taken in the terms of a pot maker making pot, a shoemaker making shoe. But there is a fallacy in such an argument. If you say the shoemaker is making the shoe, then the shoe is different from the shoemaker. Right? Shoemaker can die, the shoe may continue to be there. Right? Therefore, if you see now Hindu philosophy in Vedanta, they brought in this Lord Nataraja. Lord Nataraja is that dancer. From the dancer, the dance comes. But the dancer is not dependent on the dance. Dancer remains even without dance. Dance cannot remain without the dancer. Right? Dance cannot remain without the dancer. But there can be no dance when the dancer is not there. Shoe can be there when the shoemaker is not there. Similarly, the dance cannot be there. It's even a better way of looking at God. So this creation has emerged from divinity like dance emerging from
dancer.
Yet there is difference. Dance is dependent on the dancer. Dancer is not dependent on the dance. Waves are dependent on the ocean. Ocean is not dependent on the waves. Right? But the moment the dancer starts thinking that I am the doer, then comes the problem. Right? So the moment you have I am the doer attitude, only then there is papam punya. If I am not doing anything, where is the question of papa or punya? Now, carefully understand this. One fellow committed murder and he was taken to the court. And he was a smart fellow. You can say that he had attended few Vedanta classes, but he had not digested the essence of Vedanta. So he argued with the court, I did not murder. I am not the doer. I did not murder. Body murder. The body committed the sin. I did not commit the sin. Therefore, how can you punish me? You understand? So, everybody was confused. But the judge was also a Vedantin. He had not just merely attended Vedanta class. He is a Vedantin himself. He was a jnani. So what he told, he said, you are perfectly right. You did not do the murder. It was your body, your nature that committed the murder. So we are also not punishing you. We are only punishing the body. If you understand this example, then everything gets clear. Are you with me? If a jnani had been smoking earlier, and even if he continued to smoke after he had become a jnani, let us say, his lungs might develop certain issues. Are you with me? It is not as if his lungs will not develop, but he will not have that I am suffering. My body is suffering. Are you with me? That difference is clear in him. A lot of us say, oh, he's a jnani, why should he suffer? Are the karma continues to work for prakriti, whether it is jnani's body or anybody's body. The difference would be, in the case of a jnani, he clearly understands, I have nothing to do with this lung. Lung has certain issues. It is lung's problem. It is not my problem. So the moment you identify yourself to this little self, then you say, I am this, then only the paap and punya comes. Right? You keep a crystal in white cloth. Crystal is colorless. You keep it on a blue cloth, it will appear blue. You keep it on yellow cloth, it appears yellow. But crystal per se is colorless. So you per se have no paap or punya. So it is not the action per se, it is the bhav. If you have the bhav that I am the doer and then help somebody, you will cultivate punya. If you have the bhav that I am the doer and you plunge the knife into somebody's body, then you are committing a murder. But if you do not have the bhav that I am the doer, then that paap is not yours. Or punya is not yours. This is what Vedanta is saying. But understand these things in its complete, in its entirety. Understand that story. That is very important. Otherwise everybody says, there is no paap or punya for me. I can do whatever I want. Then when you are punished for your actions, or by your actions, then don't say, Arey Baba, I didn't do nature manifested. Obviously, the nature manifested, the nature is being rehabilitated. It requires a certain place, it called for certain consequence, and that consequence is being given. That's about it. But as far as you are concerned, you are not a papi at all. In fact, in Vedanta, you don't address anyone as a papi, because no one is a papi. You are a papi or a punyatma only when you consider yourself to be the doer. If you are very clear, I am not doing anything, I am not the doer, you are not identifying with the activity. When you are not identifying with the activity, there is no question of papi or you won't call a tiger a papi for preying on other animals. Do you? What is the reason? For example, a child. A child does something, takes away something from your house to his house. Would you say he's a thief? That innocence. Are you with me? From innocence to ignorance to innocence. That is what Zen Buddhism says. From innocence, like from childhoodness, we go through ignorance, and then a Mahatma again becomes a child. That is why we address Mahatma as Balavat. Balavat means like a child. The childlike innocence. He is not doing anything. His body is hungry, so he gives food. His body wants to sleep, he allows it to sleep. One of the definitions of a master is, he sleeps when he feels asleep, he eats when he is hungry. Now what is this definition? You say, I also eat when I am hungry, I also sleep when I am asleep. Is that right? Do you also eat when you are hungry?
And also.
Even when not hungry.
And also. Not only that, after hunger is over also you continue to eat many times even though you are not hungry. That's okay. Secondly, even after hunger is gone, you might not be eating, but your mind is
thinking
of food. Mind is preoccupied with food. What will happen to me? And the interesting thing is, my me is now having a shadow of mine. Remember this. Mine is the shadow of me. are you with me? Mind is the shadow of me. So what will it do? I have eaten, but all those things that are mine, for them to eat, I'll have to hold for my children. And my children will have children tomorrow, then they will also become mine. My grandchildren will have children tomorrow, they will also be mine. Then for all these mines, I'll have to hold. And that is why you start committing pap. Are you with me? So the me and mine, as long as you have, you will go through this pap and punya. But a person who has clearly understood what this me is all about. Who am I? For a person who has reached the Atma, there is no, he says, pap or punya. The Lord accepts neither the sin nor even the virtue of anyone. So for you to go beyond the pap and punya, you don't have to stop certain activities which you imagine to be pap and punya. You have to correct the I am the doer attitude within. For that you have to gain the knowledge of your Atma. Now you are ignorant about who you are. This is the problem that we are facing. A lot of us, I must stop doing pap and punya. So what do you do? Certain actions which are considered as pap, certain actions which are considered as punya, you stop.
No action.
No action per se is pap or punya. Oh, I didn't know that is a Mahatma. She is a Mahatma, but he is still doing this action. Why such a thought is coming to you? Because you think action per se is
pap.
You are not clearly understanding that pap has got nothing to do with the action. Pap has got nothing to do with the Atma. Pap has always got something to do with the ego. Similarly, punya has got nothing to do with the action. Punya has got nothing to do with Atma. Punya has got something to do with ego. So as long as you haven't got the true knowledge about who you are bound to be tied to pap and punya. This is where the problem comes, right? We all believe certain actions are pap. We said, how can I kill my guru? They are worthy of worship. Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan. You remember that verse in second chapter. It says, Arjuna says, Guru nahatva hi mahanubhavan. How can I kill my guru? It's pap. So, you assume certain actions as pap, and your desires come, and you don't go through those activities, and when you go through those activities, you are so stressed, and you go through that activity as much guilt as possible, and you will go through it so quickly, you will continue to doing it, because you will be free from any action, anything, only when you deal with it as a master, not as a slave. Understand this. You are told this is pap. You have accepted that. Therefore, what will you do? But your mind wants to do that. Then what will you do? You, out of guilt, and when you have that guilt, a mark is formed in you, you will repeat it again and again and again. You are bound by it. So unless and until you clearly understand, no action per se is pap, and nobody per se is a papi or a punyatma. It is the ego. And if you understand this, a clarity comes in you. You allow the nature to manifest. You know, I've seen Swami Chidananda in his public lecture. He will take that, snuff. So he'll take that snuff from his
pocket, he'll have a small dabba, he'll take it out in the public lecture. And then he'll open it, take it, and then he'll say like that, you know. Oh, a Swami, you think it's not fun? Understand? If you're a South Indian, you'll put that R also. Cigarette smoking, eh? You understand? So, I'm not saying that you should start smoking. What I'm saying is, your mind is thinking that action per se is sinful. Are you with me? Nature manifests itself. Swabhavastu pravartate. It's the highest thing that he's saying here. Understand these things carefully. Don't go about justifying. Nature is manifesting and you start justifying all the nonsense you want to do. And when trouble comes, then say, I didn't do. Don't say that. Right?
Okay, so Guruji, I have a question. Ego is what results in papam punya?
Ego is the papam punya.
The action that results from ego results in papam punya.
The action that springs from ego is papa punya.
Yeah, now what about intention? Like if intention the same action is done by two different people, just for example, one has truly pure intentions and the other does it with bad intentions. Then is it the same thing that we're talking
same
about?
Same thing. It's punya and papa. Intention is good and bad.
So it's the intention.
Obviously, that's what we've been saying. No action per se is good or bad, it is the intention.
It's the intention, the ego.
It's the ego. And that's why I pointed out to you that in the case of Mahatma, there is no intention to do good. Doing good is natural behavior. If you don't understand this, then this is why a lot of people, what do they do? Especially, anybody can die anytime, that's okay. But supposing you didn't die young and you survived 70, 80, now you find slowly, some of you get news that friend is dead. That friend's wife is dead and gone. Then slowly, oh, I am also getting old. Maybe I will also die. So what do? Call the pandit. Puja karo. Yajna karo. Usko daan karo. Make sure that whether I am there or not, every month, ye anathashram ko supply karo. You start thinking that you will remove all your path by collecting punya. From path to punya you go without correcting the ego inside and understanding that this is a shadow to which I am holding on to. If that is not clear to you, you will continue doing good activities propelled by good intentions, negative activities propelled by negative intentions. In fact, negative activity means actions propelled by negative intentions. Action per se is neither sin nor virtue. Similarly, from the consciousness point of view, you are neither a sinner nor a saint. It is your wrong identification with the little self. And because of that, there is papa. That is why he says, the Lord accepts neither the sin nor even the virtue of anyone. But if you don't understand these verses correctly, you will fall into greater danger. Start justifying all the wrong things that you have been planning to do, of wanting to do, which you are not able to control, right? So then they'll say, my nature is manifest. Don't do that. Don't get into that. So, knowledge is veiled by ignorance. So what is the trouble? Why people are all functioning like this? Their knowledge that they are Atma, the true knowledge about Atma, the consciousness, is veiled by ignorance. They suffer in avidya. Because of that, ajnanam. That ajnanam is covering. Therefore, beings are deluded. So that is why when any Mahatma looks at us, he will not look at us as a papi. That is the sign of a Mahatma. He will look at us as a what?
Atma.
Of course, everybody is Atma. But he understands
ignorance.
You are ignorant. Maurice Maeterlinck
quotation, I don't know whether I'm quoting correctly. He says, happy and blessed are is happy and blessed are is when wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide.
Bereft of a guide.
When wickedness stands forth revealed, somebody is exposed. Right? Caught red-handed. Happy and blessed are is when wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide.
Ignorance.
You why did you function like that? Ignorance. That is why they address everybody as Bala. Age difference doesn't matter to them. You are 70-year-old Bala, there is another 6-year-old Bala. For them, everybody is Bala. Why do people function like this? Ignorance. That is why we call Gandhi as Mahatma Gandhi, right? Because the fellow who shot him, he said, leave him. It's his ignorance. Ye tu bruti, then fall Caesar. You understand? Ignorance. Why do you function this way? Ignorance. You remember that story about a person who is traveling on the bullock cart, keeping all his luggage on his head? What does he say? As it is, the bullock is carrying me. I don't want to put more luggage on it. Therefore, I am putting on my head. What will you say? Ignorant. I am carrying, I don't want the bullock to suffer. You understand? Oh, what a wonderful human being. He doesn't want anybody to suffer. Hey, Baba, please understand, it is a pious ego. It's a pure poison. It is more dangerous. There is no such thing as I am doing. Prakriti is functioning. Prabhavatu. Swabhavastu pravartate. Swabhavastu pravartate. Nature manifests itself. So if you understand this, then your effort will be in gaining knowledge. That is why when you go to a Mahatma and say, I have committed this sin, I have committed that sin, and yes, gain knowledge. He keeps on giving you another chance, another chance, another chance, because he knows, still the moment you understand that you are Atma, there is no sin or anything that you have committed till now, it's gone. It's your bhav, it's your thinking. That is why a true jnani will never ever make you feel guilty. A fake guru will, because only if you feel guilty, you will keep on going to him to take advice. And he is dependent on you. A fake guru, he wants shishyas. A true guru is independent. You understand? So he will make you free of guilt. Please understand this. Spirituality will make you free of guilt. It is the worst thing, guilt. Because if you have guilt, then you want somebody, you'll go on, I have done this today, please. Okay, go. I have done. You want somebody. So he will say, okay, tomorrow don't look. Okay? And tomorrow, you know, tomorrow you will come back with two more things. Because the guilt will make you repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. It's like the bacterium is sitting inside you. It will come. And it is not just going to sit there. It will grow.
It's like being told with
children. Absolutely. The moment you make a person feel guilty, he will continue. In fact, he will become worse. You find this, na? One of the questions they ask, have you ever been imprisoned? Somebody goes to jail and comes back. Now, you ask this question, right? Have you ever been imprisoned? What is it happening there? Slowly, we remind the fellow, you are a culprit, you are a criminal. He is a criminal. Oh, he has been to jail. Okay, he is a criminal. He is a criminal. Everybody looks at him as a criminal. He becomes a worse criminal. Jail, instead of becoming a rehabilitating center, why is it making a criminal a worse criminal? By judging. You judge the person from the actions. And that is why when he goes to a Mahatma, he gets rehabilitated. What rehabilitated him? The love, the affection. Because Jnani is conscious. Love comes, emanates from consciousness. Love is not something that can be brought from the intellect. When you have love, you will have intellect. That is different. When you have reached the consciousness love, the more and more you have revealed the consciousness from within, you will be shining with love in every pore of your personality. And when a person goes to him, like in that play by Victor Hugo, Les Miserables, you know, the convict is in the priest's house. He has stolen the plates and the police caught him. And then they bring him to the priest and he says, the police says, we found him with your plates. He must have stolen from you because we asked him, he didn't say anything. He said, no, he did not steal. I gave it to him. Then he gave two more gold candle stands and said, son, life is to give, not to take. And that fellow was completely changed. Oh, he's a thief, he's a pakka yogi, you know, like they talk in this, you know, in the common world. You make up, you look at the person, you judge him. That's it. That means what? You are creating a worse personality out of him. Similarly, you go on feeling, I've done this part, so I must go on do this. The more you have that power, you think, oh, I'll become free. You will never become free. You'll be trapped. You in fact become worse part. Remember this, a true guru will release you from any guilt. A false fellow wants guilt because only then he will, because he is dependent on how many people is coming to his attendance when he is giving lecture. You know, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had a handful of disciples, some 12 or something. Jesus Christ also said 12, out of that one also exposed him. Right? So, very few people. But that is not how we look at, oh, he gets millions of people. It is good. I mean, millions of people going to listen to somebody is good. But that doesn't mean he is a Swami. A Swami should be free from the millions of people coming or not coming. He shouldn't say, just to be a Swami, millions of people don't come. Or even if million people come, only 12 matches. That also is not a Swami. It has got nothing to do with the number of people. So, Paap and Punya, Lord accepts not. In front of Lord, there is no Paap or Punya. It is only when you descend from the Lord level and you come up to this false ego level. I am this body, I am Karta. Once you have accepted that I am Karta, then to prevent myself from doing bad actions, I will start doing good actions. Are you with me? A karta alone is capable of committing sin or virtue. In the case of a jnani, there is no question of committing sin or virtue. He goes about functioning, prakriti goes about functioning, swabhava takes over, functions, he remains a sakshi.
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ओम शांति शांति शांति. कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा
प्रकृते स्वभावा.
करोमि यद्य
करोमि यद्य
सकलं परस्मै
सकलं परस्मै
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि
नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
हरिः ओम.